Welcome to In the Circle, the premier softball podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric Lopez and Victor Anderson.
Welcome to In the Circle. Eric Lopez here alongside Victor Anderson.
Nah, I'm not pissed off, Eric Lopez.
No, I'm good. It's good. We are at Super Regional Weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Super Regional Week, I should say, is here. And to me, the marquee matchup in the Super Regionals. A rematch of last year's National Championship Series. I speak of Oklahoma and Auburn. The Tigers advancing in their regional, knocking off California. While Oklahoma had to come from behind. They came back from the loser's bracket, losing the opening game to North Dakota State, came back to beat Arkansas, and then North Dakota State, and then a dramatic win over Tulsa, coming from behind in the bottom of the 10th with back-to-back two-run homers, and then knocking them off on Monday to set up the rematch, Oklahoma and Auburn in the Super Regionals, a rematch from last year's national championship at the Women's College World Series. And the man that was there last year that called the series and will be calling it this weekend, once again, the radio voice of the Auburn Tigers, Britt Bowen joins us here on In the Circle. Britt, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you again.
Well, we're playing that fight song for you there. I'll tell you, you guys got tested this weekend in the regionals, in particular on Saturday with Cal from the Pac-12. Give me your overall assessment of the weekend in Auburn. They're winning the regional, but not as easy maybe as some might have thought.
Well, I mean, I think if you look at all the regionals, I don't think there was any runaway regional this year for any of the teams. I mean, Florida had a blemish, Oklahoma had a blemish. I think the team maybe that cruised the easiest was perhaps Arizona out west. But, I mean, Wisconsin even gave Oregon a run, and, of course, Cal gave Auburn a run. That's just a few, just to name a few. I think it just goes to show, you know, the parity right now throughout college softball. I think it's getting better and better, but overall, to recap Auburn's weekend, it was a good weekend all around. In the game you're talking about specifically against Cal on Saturday, a great game, I think, in terms if you're a fan, but for Auburn specifically, I thought the pitching pitched well. Cal, they earned everything they got in the game, but I think more specifically, Auburn left a lot of runners on base in that game, but I think the biggest key takeaway for Auburn throughout the weekend was the amount of hits that they had on throughout the three games. That was the most offenses that's been displayed for Auburn in a couple months. So I think that's definitely a positive that Auburn's going to try to build on this weekend with the hot bats of Oklahoma coming to town.
One of the hitters that got going there, Casey Cooper. So much hype with Casey Cooper before the year. Was going to be tough to match the hype. I think by pure mortals had a great year, but yet some people might say she didn't. But, boy, hitting a home run over the weekend, huge for that offense.
Yeah, it was. And you look at what she did, you know, the last couple of days. It's coming up with several key hits. I mean, she was a key player. She drove in the tying run against Cal on Saturday, too. So, you know, one of the things she told me and my broadcast partner, Brad Law, before the weekend started was, yeah, you know, she didn't have the year statistically that she would like to have had, but the team is still winning, and that's what's important. And this weekend, it started a clean slate for the entire team. Is what's happened in the past is the past. They can only control what's happened in the future. And I love that mentality that Casey brought to the plate, and not only her, the Auburn offense, 1-9, brought it this past weekend in the regional.
The thing I've been impressed with from afar from Auburn, I feel like your pitching's even better this year than it was last year. Yeah. Am I off base on that, or is that accurate?
No, I think it's accurate, but it's kind of crazy because you lost three senior arms last year, and Rachel Walters, Lexi Davis, and Marcy Harper, and those three were a key staple to Auburn's success last year, but also, you have Kaylee Carlson and Michaela Martin this year that has gotten better. They've gotten a lot more innings because last year in 2016, Auburn had a true pitching staff. You had five pitchers that you had some in starting roles and some in relief roles only. This year, it's only been Martin or Carlson for the most part of the year. You do have Ashley Swindle, a freshman, that's seen limited action. But I think because of the experience that Carlson and Martin each got last year throughout the season, and the team rode them, by the way, throughout the postseason, despite them being a freshman and a sophomore. This year they've gotten even more reps, and each has kind of taken on that role of, hey, it's on us. They're pitch to contact pitchers. They do not pitch under pressure when they have runners on base. I mean, very little phases these pitchers. So I'm excited to have them in the circle for Auburn again this weekend, because we're certainly going to need them against Oklahoma.
What's the reaction around the state, around the Auburn fans, as far as getting Oklahoma again, this time at home, granted, but you get Oklahoma, as talented as they are, the defending national champions?
Well, there's certainly a lot of excitement there, and if there was any shock, I think it came on Sunday with it being from the selection committee. All in all, myself, I'm not that surprised, because if you look at selection committees in whether it be NCAA basketball, softball, or even college baseball, they love to have these matchups of rematches or kind of make a headline splash. And I definitely think this was one of the splashes of this bracket. But all in all, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, you have two of the best teams in the country going at it, battling away for a spot of a super regional. And for Auburn, we're sort of a different team than we were last year. You know, lost a lot of seniors from last year's team. I think Oklahoma is returning 8 of 9 starters with a little bit more depth in the pitching circle. But, I think the biggest thing to take away for this weekend is this weekend, although it's the same two teams playing, it's not a rematch of the national championship last year. And I only say that because last year when these two teams played, a national championship was on the line. This year when these two teams have played, they played early in the season in Oklahoma on opening day. That was just a regular season game. This is to make it to the Women's College World Series. So, you know, regardless of who comes out with the series win this weekend, I personally have a hard time labeling it as a rematch, because it's just not the same implication.
You mentioned they actually opened, you're right, they mentioned opened the season. I believe it was in, where was that? Was that in Puerto Rico?
Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Yeah, see, there you go, Brent. You got the international down pat there. do you just throw that away? So that seems like a million years ago. I mean, really,
yeah.
You just throw that away, and this is kind of brand new, as you mentioned?
Yeah, I think you have to, only because that was opening day. I mean, Auburn got Oklahoma fresh, and Oklahoma got Auburn fresh. I mean, just a lot has happened. I mean, these two teams have played almost 60 games or more since the last time they played, and I think you have to throw that out. Now, I mean, in terms of pitching, Michaela Martin, she got the start in that. She went 6 1/3. Kaylee Carlson only threw, I think, 2/3 of an inning. And at Oklahoma, they went with Paige Lowry, and Lowry threw a complete 7 innings. Outside of each team's, you know, getting a scout of what the other has to offer in the pitching circle, I think personally it's just a completely different feel, because, I mean, you look at what Oklahoma's done offensively, I mean, their bats are red hot right now. And for Auburn, on the other hand, their bats are red hot right now. I just think that each team has too much momentum, something that they didn't necessarily have in Mexico.
Of course, you face Paige Parker a lot in the Women's College World Series. She's not as sharp as she was back then. You do see Cindy Romero and company. So there is some familiarity, as far as you mentioned, Oklahoma, with that experience. But can that work to the Auburn staff's favor, that they have seen a lot of the Oklahoma personnel, frequently, and have faced them already?
Well, I think it can. And I'm not saying Oklahoma can't come in and beat Auburn, because I think that's certainly possible. But I think it's a huge advantage for Auburn, having lost to them last year and having seen Paige Parker. And, yes, they've seen 8 of the 9 hitters. So that is something Auburn staff can take away, because that's one thing I've got to give. You got to give Clint Myers and Casey Myers and also even Scott Woodard, their staff, they prepare like no other. They're a very good staff in terms of getting together scouting reports and what have you. But, you know, Patty Gaskell of Oklahoma staff is just as good. So that's what's going to make this rematch, if you will, so interesting this weekend, because these teams know each other. They know each other pretty well. I mean, if you look at the other matchups across the Super Regionals, I don't know if you have any two teams outside of perhaps Tennessee and Texas A&M, Florida, Alabama. If you have teams playing each other, cross-conference teams, I don't think you have any two teams that are familiar with each other as probably Auburn and Oklahoma are coming into this series.
How would you compare the excitement level of hosting Oklahoma coming up this week and compared to last year when you hosted Arizona?
Well, I think this year Auburn fans are excited to get Oklahoma because the last time these two teams played, in the United States, Oklahoma had 10,000 people rooting for them in Oklahoma City. I think Auburn fans are excited to give the Auburn Tigers a little bit of backing this year, you know, with Oklahoma being the road team. But, man, going back to that series last year against Arizona, I think back, and I remember watching Arizona last year saying, man, Arizona is going to be a team that's going to be back. They're going to make a run the next year because their pitcher, O'Toole, she was one of the better arms I think I've seen all of last year outside of Paige Parker in the national championship. But I think right now, though, in terms of comparing the two series, when I look at the years, they just feel like different seasons. And it's kind of hard to explain. But, you know, last year you just had different pieces that Auburn was working with. And this year Auburn's team is just it's got a different feel to it. Each team is just as capable. I've had people text me today asking, man, can Auburn beat Oklahoma? And my answer is yes. I mean, Auburn can beat any team in the country if they play up to their capability. I mean, should have taken 2 out of 3 from Florida. Key word there, should have. And I think that series is a testament to how good Auburn can be. But, you know, you have to bring your A game this weekend.
How would you summarize the Auburn season to this point? Because obviously a lot of high expectations coming off the national championship runner-up. Yeah. Tough schedule. How would you summarize it to this point?
Overall, I think Auburn went through a period of growing pains throughout the year, but I mean, to be able to put up Auburn's record of 49-10 is pretty darn good. And I think the biggest thing this year that people look at is Auburn hasn't had the offensive numbers that they've had in years past. But you got to look at the key pieces that you lost from those two teams. All in all, I think Auburn. Played extremely well down the stretch, and what I love most about this team right now is they're starting to hit their stride. The coaches have said all season we haven't come close to playing Auburn softball. I think we saw a glimpse of that this past weekend in regional play, but I think, you know, the lumps that Auburn took this year, I mean, you look at the losses in the non-conference, I think they only had two. That was to Washington and James Madison, two pretty respectable losses, and even then I think each were by one run, or maybe the other one was by two. But nonetheless, didn't really have any hiccups there. I think the Auburn kind of got exhausted a little bit in the SEC. I mean, the SEC 1 through 13, as you guys know, it's exhausting to play those teams every single week. But Auburn did find a way to win every series but one against Florida. And, you know, despite even the adversity that Auburn faced on many levels this year, they faced more adversity probably than any other team in the country, and they still found a way, guys. Still found a way to come out of this thing 49-10 and hosting a super regional. I mean, and playing their best softball at this point. I mean, all in all, I call it a pretty successful year outside of not winning the SEC.
What's the key to being successful this upcoming weekend against Oklahoma? Is it a player? Is it a situation? What's going to be the key for Auburn, not only in this weekend against Oklahoma, but even maybe beyond, should you get past Oklahoma?
Well, to be honest, I mean, at this point in the season, it's not just one player. It's not just one key phase to the game. And at this time of the year, and this is just my personal belief, you have to be playing well in all three phases of the game. You got to have good pitching. You see it year in and year out at this stage of the season and even so forth on into Oklahoma City. You can't win a national championship without having some good arms that you can depend on. And for Auburn more specifically, Auburn's got two pitchers in Kaylee Carlson and Michaela Martin. They pitch to contact. They are not strikeout pitchers looking at the numbers. They pitch to contact. They use the defense. Auburn is first in the nation, I think, with 46 double plays turned on the season. So defense this weekend is going to be a key because Oklahoma, they're an aggressive team. They're going to swing the bat. They're going to put the ball in play. Auburn's got to be able to make the plays and not give Oklahoma free bases as we did in the Women's College World Series last year with a couple of errors. And more importantly, Auburn's got to find some offense. And it's going to be tough with Oklahoma's pitching staff. I mean, they have a complete staff just like Auburn does. But the thing I'm more impressed with about Auburn is the amount of hits that we had this weekend. We had 30-plus hits in the combined two games on Saturday and Sunday. And I don't think there was a stretch all season in the regular season where Auburn had put up those kind of numbers in back-to-back games. I think the key thing is capitalizing with runners on base and less than two outs. For Auburn this year, if they have struggled at any point, it's runners left on base. But, again, this past weekend, only going off the NCAA tournament, Auburn started to hit their stride offensively. But to answer your question, for Auburn to win, they got to be playing well in all three phases. You have to swing the bats against Oklahoma. They're going to put up runs. Defense and pitching have to be in sync for Auburn to be successful.
We're speaking with our Auburn radio voice of softball, Britt Bowen, here to previewing Auburn and Oklahoma. Let's talk about some of the other interesting storylines in this tournament. You mentioned you're in the SEC. All 13 teams got into the NCAA tournament. Eight of them are still alive in the Super Regionals. What was your reaction when you saw that all 13 got in, and your reaction to the eight teams that are still standing here alongside Auburn?
I'm not going to lie. I was expecting, just after reading things and hearing things the last couple weeks of the season and seeing how high all of the RPIs were, I wasn't that surprised that all 13 teams got in. However, I am a little bit surprised that as many teams made it to the Super Regionals this weekend, and not because of talent, just because of some of these teams had tough regionals. I mean, Ole Miss, for one, is a surprise. I mean, that team is spectacular. They honestly remind me of Auburn in 2015, just kind of how they emerged to the national stage for the first time. And they, in my opinion, had the toughest regional out of anybody, hosting Arizona State and North Carolina. And you even go down to LSU. LSU had to come back and beat Louisiana Lafayette twice. And Lafayette, a team that's consistently, in recent years, been to the Super Regionals year in and year out. So that wasn't easy. But Tennessee and Texas A&M, I expected to win their respective regionals. Florida, of course, expected to win theirs. Kentucky expected to win theirs. I think the biggest surprise, another good surprise, too, is Alabama, because you just didn't know how fired up Minnesota was going to be not hosting a regional. And to Alabama's credit, they came out and had to win two very close games against Minnesota. But you know, in terms of my Auburn Tigers, and not saying this in a cocky way, but for Auburn, just given the seed and given the competition and who Auburn had played that year, expected Auburn to come out unblemished, and thankfully that's what's happened. But man, again, the surprises for me, though, Ole Miss and LSU, I've been impressed with how those two teams have played, and it was quite a run that each had in the SEC tournament just a week ago.
You've got a chance to see a lot of these teams that are still in the Super Regionals. In particular, start off with Alabama and Florida. They're going to play in the Super Regionals in Gainesville. Vic's all nervous because it's going to be packed out, because I want to go cover it, and he's all nervous because he's like, it's going to be packed.
Yeah, where are we going to stand?
Hey.
I guess, Sid, what am I stand?
Brett, come on. That's how it is in the SEC, right, Brett? Yeah, he's going to be okay.
Yeah, it's going to be good, man. And that one, I'm telling you, that one is going to be – that's going to be a packed house, because Alabama and Florida, I think they played for the national championship, what was it,
2014, 2014,
yeah. 2014. So I'm actually looking forward to see the result of that matchup, because, you know, when Alabama has Alexis Osorio in the circle, I think Osorio is just about as good as anybody in the country. And Florida's bats, and not to upset any Gators fans, but Florida's bats at times this year hasn't been what they've been in the past. But on the flip side, Florida has two of the best arms in the country. So I expect a lot of good pitching from that series between Florida and Alabama.
Admit it, you'd be disappointed if Vic didn't go, right? You'd be disappointed in him a
little bit. Yeah, you got to go. I mean, it's Super Regional softball. You get to see the number one team in the country and Alabama trying to come in for an upset.
This is true. Now, Brent, let's talk about where you go play, where you broadcast at a J.B. Rose Stadium. That atmosphere, I got a feeling they may break that attendance record that they set versus Florida a couple of years ago. How big will that crowd play as it comes down in those late innings if you have another tight game versus Oklahoma?
Oh, I said it all this past weekend when Auburn and Cal was close and the crowd was starting to get into it. I was describing to our listeners about this is why you host, you want to host a regional and a super regional. Because going back, when I first really truly understood of how big of an impact the crowd can have on a game, I honestly think back to that Louisiana Lafayette super regional 2 years ago. That was the first time Auburn had ever been to a super regional. And each of those games, it was the first game Auburn had to win in dramatic comeback walk-off fashion. And that was the loudest I've probably ever heard Jane B. Moore Field. And Auburn and Arizona last year came close to that. And I have a feeling this weekend, Auburn is adding, per Jay Jacobs on Twitter, our athletics director, Auburn is adding seats out in the outfield this weekend. So I think we will break the attendance record this weekend. And just given the results of last year's game and getting matched up with Oklahoma, man, I think this could be the most exciting atmosphere of all the super regional sites this weekend.
And I like the fact it's not an all-SEC matchup. There's two all-SEC super regional matchups, which, I feel like, they're both all-national seats. So certainly, it's not a surprise. Do you feel that the committee has it out from the standpoint of, we're going to put all these SEC teams in, let's pair up a couple of these matchups so we can guarantee a couple of knockdowns so it's not all SEC dominated when you get to Oklahoma City?
Well, I don't think they did that, and here's why. They had 13 teams to get in, and we can, of course, argue till we're blue in the face who should have hosted a regional and who shouldn't host a regional. We can't do that at this point. I think once they set the national seeds, you still had, because, let's see, Florida, all the teams that have advanced hosted right now. So that's how many SEC teams? 8 SEC teams right now, correct?
Correct.
Right? So at some point, doing the math, I mean, some of these teams are going to have to play each other at some point because, Florida and Alabama, I think, is the right matchup. Alabama being, I think they were a true 16 seed. Despite the argument with Minnesota, I mean, given the situation, I think that's the right call there. And even Tennessee, Texas A&M, I think the committee did get that part right, because if Tennessee and A&M, you look at where they finished in the SEC standings, I think the fact that Tennessee won 2 out of 3 on the road at Texas A&M earned Tennessee the right for super regionals. But I'll tell you what, if those four teams aren't playing each other, where the heck do you put them? Because you got Florida State against LSU. I think that's going to be a phenomenal series, by the way. Ole Miss is on the road at UCLA. Kentucky's on the road at Oregon. You didn't have anywhere else to put these teams, I mean, aside from Arizona, Baylor, and then Washington, Utah. And in my opinion, I think the committee got it right in terms of how they laid things out with these national seeds outside of Minnesota not hosting a regional.
I agree. Well, a minute, yeah, especially that with that part. You mentioned Tennessee and A&M. They played in the regular season. What's your thoughts on those two teams? One of them is going to end up going to the Women's College World Series. They just played right, like a couple weeks ago. Who has the advantage based on that? In your thoughts,
I think Tennessee does, only because Tennessee, A, they've already taken 2 out of 3 from them on the road, and Tennessee gets to come back and be at home. And no disrespect to Texas A&M whatsoever. They're a well-coached team. They have a lot of talent. But I think Tennessee's schedule throughout the year has set them up more than Texas A&M's schedule has. You look at who Texas A&M had in the regular season in the SEC, they can't control this. The players can't control this. But Texas A&M from the SEC got a really good draw this year, just how the rotation of the schedules and of the sites, how that works out throughout the year. Personally, I like Tennessee. I think it's going into Knoxville, going into Rocky Top, I think it's just hard to beat any SEC team on the road 2 out of 3 at home. And Tennessee, outside of Florida, they protected home field pretty dang good this season. And I'm going to take Tennessee, but it wouldn't surprise me, though, if Texas A&M comes out with an upset. I think that series, personally, guys, that's going to be one of those toss-up series that I've got 3 toss-up series, in my opinion. It's the Tennessee, Texas A&M, Auburn, Oklahoma, of course, and Florida State, LSU. I think those 3 series all have the potential for sure to go Game 3.
Well, and you've mentioned LSU and Florida State, so I'll let you expand on LSU and Florida State. What draws you attractive to that matchup?
Well, Florida State, I know how good they are with their pitching and their lineup 1-9. They're well coached by Coach Lonnie Alameda from Florida State, and Auburn saw them three times last year, twice in the regular season, once in the Women's College World Series. Florida State, I mean, they're on the national level. They even took a game from Florida, which I think says a lot. But for LSU, I love the way that LSU plays. I know they've gone through some hiccups this year with some injuries, lost a couple series that they perhaps shouldn't have lost. But having seen them live in the SEC tournament, they came in, they kicked Auburn's butt the one game that they played. And what I was so impressed about was their defense is athletic. They make an error here or there, but their defense is really, really athletic. And their offense, they up until the SEC Tournament Championship game, they were the only team in the SEC Tournament. As dominant as SEC pitching was this year, LSU averaged 6 runs per contest in the first 3 rounds. Now, the bats went cold against Ole Miss, and everybody's gone cold against Ole Miss late. You can't hold that against them, but between their bats, when they get it going, and also they have a very good pitching staff with Sidney Smith, Allie Wall Jasper, and Carly Hoover. They have one of the deepest pitching staffs, in my opinion, out of all these teams in terms of just number of arms that they can go to. A lot of experience that LSU has, because LSU, as Florida State is, they've been a contender every single year for the Women's College World Series. So that's why, in my mind, that series is going to be one of the best this weekend.
And of course, you mentioned you played Florida State in that Women's College World Series. That was a memorable game that Auburn was able to pull out to get to the National Championship Series, but they're certainly super talented Knowles team. And you mentioned you've seen LSU 4 times this year, most recent in the SEC semifinal. Another team that you saw that wasn't an SEC team there, but you mentioned it earlier here, Arizona. You saw them last year in the Super Regional. So you're not surprised that maybe they are one of the favorites to win the national title, because they return a lot of talent from that team last year, including MAGA, and you mentioned O'Toole.
Yeah, and that's what Arizona, they have a lot of pieces. And watching them against South Carolina, caught a little bit of that game yesterday, they just, to me, look like one of the more complete teams in the country. And I think there's a handful of teams that can truly contend for a championship, and I think Arizona is one of them. I really do. I just think they have all the pieces. They're a well-coached team. They won the Pac with ease this year, and the Pac-12, so in a lot of people's minds, it was arguably as good as the SEC was. So, I think Arizona, they're a team that's destined to get back to Oklahoma City. I mean, when you think of collegiate softball and the history of the game, Arizona is one of the teams that we all grew up watching, and watching them go on all those major runs along with UCLA and Arizona State back in the old days in the Pac-10. And, you know, they haven't tasted that success in a couple of years now. And now I just think that they have the pieces to get back. And, Auburn, Oklahoma, whoever advances out of that Super, going to have one heck of a matchup in the first game against Arizona, I think, in Oklahoma City.
You mentioned Ole Miss. Ole Miss is at UCLA. You've got Kentucky at Oregon. Of those two super regionals there with the two SEC teams on the road at the Pac-12, which one do you give the best shot to pull the upset?
I give Ole Miss the best shot to pull the upset, only because of what they have going right now as a team. And even their pitching has been really good also. Because Ole Miss, you know, one thing it takes to be really, really good and make a run in this tournament is you need some momentum. And Ole Miss has more momentum, or as much momentum, than any other team in the country right now. Going on a run and winning the SEC Tournament Championship, that's going to help, because having seen what that did for Auburn, it gives you the confidence to win big-time games on the big-time stage. And For Ole Miss, they haven't seen UCLA. I know UCLA is a really good team, but for Ole Miss, I mean, they're a team that's coming out. They have nothing to lose. They've never been to the Women's College World Series before. UCLA, they have that national prestige. They've been there each of the last 2 years. For Ole Miss, though, I mean, they're the underdog. They're going to be the underdog that everyone's rooting for. And no disrespect to Kentucky. I think Kentucky's a good team, good quality arms, and good lefties in the circle for them, but Auburn, Washington's a good quality team. Washington, they beat Auburn and Oklahoma in Mexico earlier in the year, and some really good arms. I just think Ole Miss, with a swagger that they have, and they have the Caitlin Lee, who's been all over ESPN the last couple weeks with her play. I just think Ole Miss, man, they have the pieces. If there's an upset to take place this weekend, it's going to be the Rebels.
Ole Miss is at UCLA, of course. You got Kentucky will be at Oregon. That will be a good super regional. You mentioned Washington, by the way. They're hosting Utah. I mean, Auburn plays a lot of these teams in the super regionals, Brett. I mean, it's hard to keep up with who Auburn's playing. Well, if teams are going deep in postseason, Auburn, either you or Auburn have seen them.
Well, and Auburn, that's credit to our head coach, Clint Myers. He schedules a tough schedule for this reason, because you got to have a high RPI. Gosh, if we didn't learn that enough this year with what happened to Minnesota, which, again, a story for another day, but you got to have a high RPI to be able to be in position to host and have a chance to make a run. And I actually misspoke. Kentucky playing at Oregon. And going back to Kentucky, Oregon, a team, they got stunned last year at home by UCLA and the Bruins coming back, and I think they won the elimination game of that Super Regional last year. I just have a hard time seeing Oregon losing at home 2 years in a row in a Super Regional. Of course, Washington, they're going to have their hands full with Utah this year, as Utah's bats, man, they came alive this last weekend in the Regional.
I want to ask you about this year. Auburn played at Alabama. I watched the entire series, actually, including that Friday night SEC Network game where how many innings? That was, nine, 10 innings?
Nine-inning game.
Where it seemed longer, though, for some reason. It was a marathon. I remember Patrick Murphy got tossed from that game. Yeah. And it was an emotional series because, for people that don't know, Auburn and Alabama haven't played a conference series. I think, what was it, 4 years? In 4 years?
2 years.
2 years, which was in Auburn. But
in Auburn a couple years ago, a game that went like 10 innings, 11
correct.
Innings.
But they haven't played Auburn. Yeah. Like, Auburn hadn't played in Tuscaloosa in 4 or 5 years. Is that
4 years, right. Right, yeah. And that was – and the thing about that is, man, it's all to do with the SEC scheduling. It's all to do with the conference, and the conference has every team on a rotation of who you play the next year and years to come. But, you know, I'm of the opinion there's got to be some system to get these two teams together every single year.
Right.
I mean, you're hurting the game. You're hurting the sport by not doing that. I mean, college softball in the last 3 years in the state of Alabama was arguably more popular than college baseball. Due to the success of Auburn and Alabama, that they've had on the diamond in softball the last couple of years. But, you know, that series this year was pretty special for Auburn, only because Alabama, with much respect, you know, for years and years, they were one of the teams in the SEC. They were one of the teams, and Auburn just hadn't had the success until Clint Myers come along 3 years ago. And for Auburn to go into a big-time place such as Rhodes Stadium, an arch rival, to win their first ever series in Tuscaloosa, that was big. And I'll tell you what, when you win series like that, when you go on the road to win series like that, that's a super regional-type atmosphere that you're having to play in that gets you ready for the NCAA tournament in the regular season. And when you go in and win series like that, it gives you confidence. It gives you confidence down the road that hey, you can win the big game. You can go on the road and beat good teams. And that's exactly what happened for Auburn, and it certainly was a good way to end the regular season.
And you mentioned they played 2 years ago at Auburn. Didn't that was the year they played that wild, long marathon.
14-13 game. I went 10 innings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that game was nuts, and it was a throwing error, I think, that ended up losing the game for Alabama. And when those two teams get together, they're back and forth. They are back and forth games. I think they've played three times in the SEC tournament since Clint Myers had been at Auburn. This year was the first time that Auburn didn't see Alabama in the SEC tournament. We've played them almost as many times in the SEC tournament as we have in the regular season. And played them once on a neutral site game in the capital city of Alabama, Montgomery, a couple of years ago. But it's just strange. I just wish there was a way that they could get together year in and year out on the softball diamond, because, like I said, I mean, the fans will certainly pay to see it.
And I know Eric speaks for me when I say this. When we're having those types of games as a broadcaster, you're kind of living and dying with every pitch like the fans and the players are. For you being in the voice of Auburn softball, you and your broadcast partner Brad Law, what is it like for you two guys calling all of that action?
It's a dream come true for me personally. And I think I speak for Brad when we say this, because Brad and I are both Auburn grads, both with a passion for broadcasting. And Brad, by the way, if you guys have never listened to Brad, Brad's a phenomenal broadcaster. No one prepares like he does. And it's just a lot of fun being Auburn grads, being from two small towns in Alabama in a state where you're rooting for the second school of the state that most people would say, because, I mean, the majority of people, without a doubt, to Alabama fans, it's special. It really is. And to be able to do this, to be able to have this job, especially for me at eight, I'm only 25, and to be able to get to call the magnitude of games that I've been able to call in the last 3 years, especially under Clint Myers, is, for me, has been an absolute blessing. And, you know, you want to say, oh, yeah, hey, yeah, you're a good broadcaster, this, that, and the other. There's a lot of good broadcasters out there, and sometimes you just have to recognize the fact that hey, you're lucky to be where you are, and I'm extremely lucky to be where I am, and thankful, and just hoping we can put together one more fun run this weekend against Oklahoma.
Yeah, that should be a fun one. Oklahoma and Auburn this weekend in the Super Regionals. Britt, tell the audience where they can find your broadcast with Brad.
Couple places you can find us this weekend. We'll be, of course, if you happen to be in the East Alabama area, we'll be on locally on FM Talk 95.9. But if you're not in Alabama, do not worry. You can get us for free online at auburntigers.com, or also online with the Auburn Athletics app on a tablet or a mobile device. So please find us. We certainly appreciate you making us a part of your weekend.
And of course, keep it up with Auburn softball all year round there. Britt Bowen, the voice of Auburn softball, among other sports as well. Britt, have a fun one. I know this is why we all get into this, is to broadcast games like these. And I know you're looking forward to it. Have a blast with it, all right?
Hey, guys, we appreciate it. War Eagle.
There you go. Britt Bowen, the radio voice of Auburn softball.
And I'm amazed at this. This second time I had my mind blown in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Number one, I didn't realize Jessica Allister was as young as she was when she was hired as a Minnesota head coach. And number two, I realized Britt was that young himself. He and Brad, they don't sound like their ages.
Oh.
They sound experienced. Of course, when you're under the tutelage of the great Rob Bramlett, voice of Auburn Tiger football, basketball, and baseball, you kind of get that greatness rubs off on those two. And you can hear it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be exciting. I think it's the marquee series of the Super Regionals. I mean, let's kind of rank, Vic, in your thoughts on the Super Regionals rankings. I think Auburn, Oklahoma, to me, is number one. I actually think LSU, Florida State is two.
Okay.
I would probably, looking at it, I would probably go Florida, Alabama, because of the history there with the rivalry.
Fair.
I would go with that three. Probably go Ole Miss, UCLA, because Ole Miss is the hot team, UCLA the tradition, right? Mm-hmm. That's the fourth.
Old school, new school matchup there.
Yeah.
And it sounds like there's a clear separation between those four matches and the other.
Well, I'm not excited about Washington, Utah. We've seen that.
Because they played at the final week of the regular season.
Same thing with Tennessee and A&M.
Yeah. What about Arizona Baylor?
Man, Baylor's pitching great with Rodoni, no question. But, boy, it's a different animal playing at Arizona. Yeah. And then Oregon, Kentucky. Rachel Lawson's done a great job of that young team. But Oregon, you know, certainly tough. But, I mean, those are tough. That's tough. I mean, that's a tall order.
Yeah.
But you never know. That's why they play them. For sure. I mean, what are you? Which one are you?
Well, I agree with you. Auburn, Oklahoma, number one. Anytime you have a rematch of the national championship in the following year, and put this in perspective. You mentioned Oklahoma losing that opening game. They're the eighth team since the Super Regional format was introduced to lose their first game and to come out of the losers bracket and win in advance. They were the first national champion to lose their opening game the following year since 1985. So Oklahoma is going to be – and here's the thing, Eric. Paige Lowry, I know Auburn faced Lowry when she was a freshman at Missouri a couple of years ago. She is not the same pitcher that they're going to be facing this weekend in Auburn. She has been superb in the circle in the regionals. She really has developed that confidence now under Coach Gasso in Oklahoma and really learning under Paige Parker. That's going to be an interesting series. I got Florida, Alabama, number two. The pitching, I think the pitching matchup there, I can make the argument that you have four of the top 15 pitchers in America in that one ballpark with Littlejohn and Osorio for Alabama, and then you have Gourley and Barnhill from Florida. If you're a fan of pitcher duels and strikeouts, that is going to be the regional you're going to look for, Alabama and Florida. And I like LSU and Florida State, number three. Two of the rising stars in the coaching ranks, who we both had on the podcast, Beth Torino, LSU, Lonnie Alameda from Florida State. Can Hoover and Wall Jasper, can that 1-2 punch beat the Florida State 1-2 punch of Burroughs and King?
Yeah, Hoover was fantastic in the regional against Louisiana Lafayette as LSU does it again, comes back from a loser's bracket to win a regional. They did that 2 years ago when they knocked off Arizona State. Actually, they had to beat Arizona State twice in the same day. This because of weather. They beat McNeese State on Sunday night and then beat Louisiana Lafayette late in the hours on Sunday
night, early Monday morning.
And then came back and knocked them off on Monday. Unbelievable. And, you know, that's not including last year when LSU came back from a 1-0 deficit to win twice at James Madison.
Yes.
Beth Torino, she joked with it when she was on the podcast before the year about, hey, they just like to have their backs to the wall, I guess, and they did. That's going to be a fantastic series. I'm very conflicted right now because there's a lot of people are hitting me up about, hey, you coming down to Tallahassee? You and Vic coming down to Gateway? We don't know yet. We're going to try, though. Vic's a little intimidated, though. Guys, I mean, just tell Vic it's going to be okay. Don't worry.
They're Bama fans. It's not the fact. It's the atmosphere. I know Alabama.
Were we not treated well in Gainesville this past
week? We were treated well. We like to send a special thank you to the Gator media relations staff for doing a tremendous job and a tremendous.
They already know me. I've been there so much.
They know you on a first name basis.
Yeah.
They joke with you like, we'll see you in 2018, right, Eric?
That's right. Yeah, probably. So,
but seriously, if we are out in Gainesville, come up to us, say hello.
And Vic's worried about not having a seat. Just give him your seat. It's okay.
I'll stand.
Okay, you're good.
I'll stand.
The Bama Florida series Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're probably going to try to head out there Friday night.
Yeah, possible.
That way we could kind of there, and we'll see what Florida State LSU is an interesting one. That's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. Auburn, Oklahoma's Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. Obviously, all the information's online. ESPN.com will have
NCAA.
That.
NCAA.com as well.
NCAA.com and so forth. So so that was kind of part of the story. We will go more in depth on the Super Regionals a little bit later in the week.
Yes.
So, Vic, tell the audience where they can find us, not only for this podcast and previous podcasts and blogs, but also that upcoming Super Regional.
That's right. Chat. Follow us on Twitter, InnerCircleSB, eclipsed 600 followers as of this recording. So thank you guys so much for that. Follow our blog, InnerCircleBlog.wordpress.com. Subscribe to our podcast on Podomatic and Apple Podcasts. Follow our podcast on Podomatic. That way you get notified when the newest podcasts come out. And also you can send us an email, innercirclesb@gmail.com.
All right. That'll do it. For Victor Anderson, I'm Eric Lopez. Thanks again to Britt Bowen for joining us. As Auburn gets set to take on Oklahoma in the Super Regional. We'll have more this week on In the Circle. Until next time. Talk to you soon.